Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift to the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout the second week of Easter, the Church has us ponder in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus at night what the proper Christian response should be to the offering of God, how God wishes to give us a new life. That's the Christian life. It's the life of the resurrection. It's the life that we talked about at the Easter Vigil, that we've been buried with Christ through baptism, and it's now that we're called to live newness of life for Christ, no, for God in Christ. Nicodemus was reluctant to seize that gift. Jesus wants us all to see, receive it and live it, and that's what we see the apostles doing in the first reading. So today is the end of that chapter. We don't really know if these are Jesus' direct words, if St. John's reflections on Jesus' words. The punctuation in the ancient Greek manuscripts doesn't allow us to determine for certain who was speaking. Regardless, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. But what do we learn? On Easter Sunday morning, St. Paul told us, as he told the Colossians, if you have been raised with Christ, and that's a fact, we have been, seek the things that are above. Think not of what is below, think of what is above, because your life is hidden with Christ in God. And Jesus describes that reality today. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all, who testifies to what he has seen and heard. Our speech, is it changing throughout this Easter season? Our heart, our aspirations, all of it. Do we characterize the words of the liturgy, sursum corda, lift up your hearts, that you're seeking the things that are above? Or are we dragging our hearts with the stuff of this world? The Lord wants us passionately to love the gift of the world, to bring him to it, to lift it all up. It's not that we're supposed to be ethereal in our thoughts and not practical in the least. We're not all called to be St. Joseph Cupertino's, who can't tie his sandal straps, but he's levitating because he's seeking the things that are above. That's not God's plan for us all. But are our hearts upward? What's the real directionality of our life? Are we filled with hope? Are we speaking of heavenly things? What we've seen and what we've heard, St. John will say, that's what we announce to you. We've touched in others in our encounter with the Lord in prayer and encounter with the Lord in the sacrament. It's the first thing. Jesus was always speaking about the things of his Father, and we're his perpetual echo. Jesus describes here, no one accepts his testimony. It's a little bit of an exaggeration because immediately thereafter he says, whoever does certifies that God is trustworthy. What Jesus is implying there is most don't accept his testimony. Most don't want to convert in the absolutely radical way that God wants. Most will sort of advert to the things that are above a little bit over the course of the day. But for the most part, they're just like everybody else with mundane goals. If we accept Jesus' testimony, he says, we're certifying that God is trustworthy. We believe that what he says is the words of eternal life. This is the path to true happiness. That the one whom God sent speaks his words about how we're to become who he created us to be. Jesus doesn't ration the gift of his Spirit. He doesn't limit it. He doesn't box it. And likewise, the one who seeks the things that are above lets the Spirit reign, that Spirit who blows wherever he wills, not asking whether it comes from Philadelphia or Chicago, not wondering whether it's going to Long Island or Boston. That we just accept the reality that the Holy Spirit wants to move us from within. And whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, he says, already. Not will have eternal life, but has eternal life, because it has that life of Christ, who is eternal. That is what eternal life is, Jesus will say to us later in St. John, that you will know Christ in that biblical sense, that you're aware of him fully and one with him as a friend. This is the Christian life. This is the life we're supposed to convert to and seize in the Easter season. And we see in the first reading how the first apostles did. Throughout this week again, we're seeing the way they were persecuted by the same people who had murdered the Lord. At the very end of today's passage, it says that the Sanhedrin became infuriated and wanted to put them to death, and they knew how to do it. It would have been very easy for them to seek the things that are earthly. And what's the biggest earthly aspiration? Self-preservation. Could have easily tried to save their own hides. They didn't. Even when the members of the Sanhedrin had given strict orders that they absolutely stop teaching in Christ's name, what was their response? Not to cower in the corner, to pray to the Spirit that they might speak the word of God with all boldness. And off they did, so much so that the Sanhedrin testified today that they had filled all of Jerusalem with their teaching. They couldn't stop. Was extending throughout the entire city. As they were testifying to what they had seen and heard, they were not rationing the gift of the Spirit, but with the Holy Spirit being witnesses of all of these things. It was changing lives by the thousands. They recognized that they had to obey God rather than men. And God had sent them out precisely, beginning from Jerusalem, to testify, to call to the repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and to help people learn how to seize eternal life in the here and now, thanks to the gift of God. Today we celebrate the feast of a great saint, a humble saint, who suffered as the first apostles did, for seeking the things that are above and for obeying God rather than civil or even ecclesiastical authorities. St. Bernadette Subaru was an illiterate 14-year-old girl when she went to pick up some stray wood at the garbage dump of ancient Lourdes, this grotto called Masse Bielle. Was there hearing some rustling that she saw a beldame, an aquero, she used to call it in the patois, a thing, a vat, who just appeared, this woman in white, beautiful lady, who just prayed with her, showed her how to make a true sign of the cross, to really pray that sign of the cross, and then asked her to come back for a fortnight. There would be 18 appearances in 1858 to St. Bernadette, and everybody thought she was nuts. Her parents were embarrassed, her parish priest was embarrassed, the bishop didn't know what to make out of it, the civil authorities thought that they had something very problematic on their hands rather than a grace. So she needed to suffer from all of that. Over the course of the rest of her life, she would have to suffer from everybody coming and asking her the same questions over and over again, stoning her with their importunity. But nevertheless, she continued to seek the things that are above. Our Lady had promised to her, Bernadette, I do not promise to make you happy in this life, but I do promise to make you happy forever. And Bernadette seized that opportunity, didn't ration the gift to the Spirit, but received it, in imitation of the one who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit her entire life. Bernadette did such incredible good, and she's a great witness to us about how to embrace this reality. And I want to finish with a couple of her thoughts on the Holy Eucharist. Because she was illiterate, she couldn't read the catechism. And the priest at the time didn't really care. She had made her first communion by the time she was 14. But basically, once she became famous, Her pastor recognized that it was a pastoral embarrassment that this girl visited by Our Lady couldn't receive Holy Communion because they didn't do their job in preparing her for Holy Communion. So the pastor, Le Père Pierre-Aimal, got his parochial vicar to catechize Bernadette verbally. So she received in the convent to the Sisters of Charity of Nevers her first Holy Communion when she was almost 15. Afterward, this Madame Estrade, who was a prominent woman in the parish, came up to Bernadette and asked her, "Bernadette, what pleased you more, the appearances of Our Lady or your first Holy Communion?" Bernadette, with that great simplicity she never lost, said, "How can I compare the two? All I know is both made me very happy." She was basically trying to say was the experiences of 157 years ago that made her unforgettable in church history until the end of time are like what we receive every single day. She can't compare the experiences. I would even say, as a theologian, that what we do here is far more important than if Our Lady were to appear to us 1,000 times. But Bernadette was, "All I know is that both made me very happy." That's the way we're supposed to receive. That what we're doing today will be remembered by the saints 156 years from now. I mean, that's the grandeur of what we have. And then a little bit later, as she was catechizing some of the novices who had just come to Nevers, where she was to the end of her life, she said, "What a mystery sublime that in Holy Communion I am who am nothing, nevertheless am embraced by the one who is everything. He doesn't look at my nothingness, but in fact embraces it. And I come into contact with him," she said, "heart to heart. How sublime is my destiny." And it was because of this union that she was able to receive as often as possible there in the convent in Nevers, even when she languished in the infirmary. It was because of this that she continued to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Lord, because she was united with him. Today, as we come forward, let's ponder how sublime is our destiny and how happy is the Lord. More than Saint Bernadette and all the holy communions of her life wished to receive the Lord Jesus, more than the Blessed Mother desire to receive the Lord Jesus from the hands of St. John, more than all the angels and saints have ever collectively, more than all the saints have collectively wanted to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, Jesus wanted to feed us this morning. He comes here to give us that life eternal. May we spend the whole rest of our life not rashing the Spirit, but giving witness to the Spirit of what we've seen, heard, touched, and today anew, taste it. Saint Bernadette Subaru, pray for us.